This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
In a week where so much has happened, one man stands alone, poised to tackle it all and take your calls. Armed with just his wit and a stack of stats, he embarks on a quest that will require 4 hours of intense concentration, telephonic communication, and the mockery of jockery. This is the Robin Lundberg Show.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. With every score change during Super Bowl 55, someone wins $50,000 in the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free at rocketmortgagesquares.com. We've been talking about matchups, Drew Brees versus Tom Brady or Lamar Jackson versus Josh Allen, which is the better one, at 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. But speaking of matchups, I saw they're moving up the Godzilla versus King Kong movie to March 26th. HBO Max and theaters, whatever those are. It's crazy. I used to love going to the movies, too. I would go by myself all the time, especially if, like, you know, I had a break with the wife and kids. I'd just sneak off to the movies. But, you know, Godzilla versus King Kong. First of all, I hope it's good, because they haven't been able to make a good Godzilla movie, which I don't understand. It doesn't seem that hard to me. But I didn't like any of these newer Godzilla movies. The King Kong movies were good. I thought Skull Island was pretty good, and the first one, the one with Jack Black, was really good. Especially that scene where he takes all the two T-Rexes. That scene is fire. But Godzilla, historically, is much bigger than King Kong. You know, not to mention the atomic breath and everything like that. The way I like to put it is Godzilla steps on buildings and King Kong climbs them. So I'd have to imagine King Kong is being upsized, which they already did in the Skull Island movie. They made it much bigger. So there in makes it a more intriguing matchup, because a gorilla, you know, on close to even weight, I would definitely take over a lizard or a dinosaur or anything like that. Just agility and strength in that whole combination, not to mention the intelligence from that creature. But Godzilla, you know, size advantage and the atomic radiation breath, it makes it, it's actually an interesting matchup if they're close to the same size. I do recall watching it when I was a kid. I always thought it was BS that King Kong won the American version, Godzilla won the Japanese version, but I always thought that it was BS King Kong won at all because of the size difference. But in order to make it a fair fight, they had to upsize King Kong. I just hope that it's good. That's the number one overall thing. As far as entertainment properties go, I'm sure we're going to get into the new Marvel show, WandaVision, in another one towards the end of the show. Anthony, producer of the show, is a big Marvel guy like me. He's very excited to talk about it. He didn't even want to talk about it to me during the breaks, because he didn't want to spoil, you know, the conversation I guess we're going to have on the air a little bit later. But you can have a conversation about some of the sports stuff, or, you know, Godzilla and King Kong and WandaVision if you want, right now at 855-212-4227. Let's go to Bill in the Bay Area. Bill, you're up next here on the Robin Lundberg Show on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Bill?
Good morning, Robin. Thank you for taking my call. I think for me the most intriguing matchup is going to be the two older guys, Drew Brees and Tom Brady. But I got to tell you, man, my heart is going out to Cleveland. This could be a magical year for the people of Cleveland, Ohio. I really think that The Browns have what it takes to be able to beat the Chiefs. The only thing is I'm worried about if the Chiefs get the ball, like there's 5 minutes or so to go in the game. I think Cleveland's going to have to really knuckle down and really play. But I'm hoping that they can use the ground and pound because possession and a good defense is, you know, is a possession and a good defense can really really do some damage. That's what I think. And I did have one quick point I'd like to ask, or question rather, excuse me. And I was wondering how you feel about this, and I'll take your answer off the air, and I would like to know why you feel like you do. I'm wondering why Jim Plunkett is not in the Hall of Fame or being considered seriously for the Hall of Fame. I mean, two Super Bowl victories, called his own plays. The man was a Heisman Trophy winner, first pick in the draft. He's a great player as far as I'm concerned. Not the greatest, obviously, but he did more than enough, I think, to get in there. And I'll take your answer off the air. You guys are the best in sports. Thank you very much.
I appreciate the call. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have a great frame of reference when it comes to Jim Plunkett. It just played before my time, right? And obviously I'm familiar with the name and some of his career. He played with the Raiders at the end of his career. I know that. And as far as you know, him being in the Hall of Fame or not, I could just take a quick glance at his page on Football Reference, and I guess the answer to that, you know, immediately would be to me, he had a 500 record. He had 34 more interceptions than he had touchdowns. He completed 52% of his passes. Now, a lot of that's the era, so that's not really fair. I mean, because he is a two-time Super Bowl champ, as you mentioned. And I always, you know, whenever Joe Namath comes up in conversations, you look up his stats, and they're not very impressive in the traditional sense either. So, I honestly don't have an answer for you. He's the only eligible quarterback with two Super Bowl wins as a starter not to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So, I mean, that shows you, I suppose, why it's a debate. I know people have campaigned for him. I've seen Ron Rivera say it in the past. But personally, just I don't have the frame of reference to say with any authority which way, you know, I would go on that. I can just, like, you know, look at the information. Kevin in New York. Kevin, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
What's up, Robin?
How are you, man?
Knicks fans are so salty. I'm a Knicks fan, but I'm also an NBA fan. I followed LeBron, Steph, and KD throughout their careers. To see three global superstars play in New York is amazing. Maybe our guy Jay-Z can buy the Knicks. Then players will come.
Well, look, Jay-Z obviously had that Nets association, and then when he had to give it up because of He has the Roc Nation agency.
Sports, yeah.
Yeah, so he can't have any ownership in a team. As far as the saltiness, I think you're right on. I mean, it does feel like, you know, Knicks fans will accuse Nets fans of being obsessed with the Knicks, but I think it's the other way around now. And a lot of that, like, emotional reaction to the Nets acquiring James Harden and all the negativity that was spewed, I think was actually a little insight into the fact that everybody knows they're going to be really good. You know, how good they're going to be, we'll see. You know, like, do they win the NBA championship? I'm not saying that. The Lakers exist, right? But there's no question that they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. And I think you saw some people grappling with that idea at the same time. Also, you know, Harden and Durant and Kyrie are lightning rods in a sense, so that factors in. But yeah, I do think Knicks fans are a little salty about the whole Nets situation in general, knowing that this is now a team with a 5-year contending window, and that's why you always get this, like, oh, they're not relevant, you know, which is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. They're the most relevant team maybe in sports almost right now.
But I watch LeBron. I mean, I watch the Lakers all the time last year. I mean, what's wrong with watching the Nets? It's Kevin Durant and James Harden. I'm not supposed to watch them?
Oh, people will be watching the Nets. And it probably won't, you know, if, and I don't mean this as Knicks fans. There are probably a bunch of Knicks fans who will be watching more of the Nets very soon than the Knicks. Doesn't mean they're not Knicks fans. It's just the Knicks are not going to give them a reason to watch pretty shortly if it hasn't already happened. The Knicks have come back to reality. That's just a bad basketball team.
And James Harden, the best way to lose weight is play basketball.
Oh, yeah, I'm not worried about his conditioning at all. Thanks for the call, man. I'm not worried about Harden's conditioning. I don't think that's an issue. Even the way Harden got out of Houston, I don't think it's an issue either. I hated it. Nobody liked that. Who liked that? Like, I don't think anybody would tell you, oh, I love that, other than the fact that if you're like a Nets fan and it meant that he got to the Nets. I don't think anybody liked the way that went down. But clearly, it was a means to an end, right? Harden wanted out of there. And now that he's out of there, I think he'll be, you know, all smiles and everything. And, you know, if you look at his broader track record as far as being reliable and performing, you know, that's exemplary. He performs. You know, he plays. Postseason, whatever, we can get to, you know, I don't think his postseason resume is as bad as people make it out to be. But as far as just like, you know, this guy being a bona fide superstar, that's unquestioned. And he doesn't have some sort of pattern of, yeah, he may, you know, you may see pictures of him, you know, at an establishment. In New York, he'll support the local economy, maybe, especially the late-night local economy. But I don't think you've ever questioned his reliability or him being, like, an issue. I don't think that was a thing. Kyrie's reliability is a whole nother thing. But, yeah, that's a—I mean, look, James Harden, I think people allowed their emotions to completely skew their judgment when it came to Harden, because that guy is one of the best players in the NBA. And I saw all this like, oh, I wouldn't trade, you know, Duncan Robinson for him, or, you know, Marcus Smart. I don't know if I'd put him in a deal for, you know, whatever the case may be, any name. You're talking about James Harden. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the two teams reportedly involved for Harden, one, the general manager of the Rockets for the bulk of Harden's time there, the guy who traded for him in Houston, now running the Sixers, and the Sixers were involved. And Mike D'Antoni is the assistant with the Nets with Steve Nash, and they got James Harden. So Harden's last GM and last coach both were actively involved in pursuing him, which I think tells you a little something. And you know what else tells you something? The fact that the GM, the coach, and the two star players all wanted out of Houston, which makes you think there's something going on behind the scenes with that organization as well. But we will talk a little bit more about the James Harden trade and what it means in the 8 o'clock hour coming up. Right now, talking NFL, 855-212-4227. Let's shift to that Kansas City-Cleveland game for a second. Odell Beckham Jr. said, don't be surprised when the Cleveland Browns beat the Kansas City Chiefs. How surprised would you be to see that happen? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. You know, they're the biggest underdogs this weekend. I think it's at 9.5 points. And I wouldn't be, you know, I'm not shocked by any outcome in one of these individual games. But anytime you're talking about an upset, especially in the NFL, it's a little easier to do. Like, I play it out in my head. All right, how does this upset happen? For instance, last week with Washington and Tampa, I said, you know, Washington's going to need to score on defense or on special teams early in the game and have control of the game. And it didn't work out that way for them. I mean, they played well. It wasn't a blowout or anything like that. But Tampa had control of the bulk of that game, and I think it needed to be the other way around. For Cleveland to beat Kansas City, the only way I could see that happening is them just running the ball all over them. And, you know, running the ball all over them, keeping Patrick Mahomes on the sideline. The thing is, Patrick Mahomes doesn't need that much time, even when he gets in. You know, he doesn't play that way. So the Browns are also going to have to put points on the board, which just makes it so tough. So, you know, you're asking them to control the running game, control the clock, keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline, and put the ball in the end zone consistently. It's just a lot of asks. And Kansas City is so explosive. So I would be more than a little surprised if Cleveland won that game, despite how well they've been playing. And Baker Mayfield keeping up with Patrick Mahomes, that's a tall task, because that's not even saying anything about Baker Mayfield. You know, like anybody, even these other great quarterbacks playing this weekend, you know, any QB going into that matchup, I'm giving the disadvantage because of the guy that they are facing on the other side. How about Brady in Windsor, Ontario? Brady, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Oh, nothing much. Good morning, Robin. And you're right. I mean, the Browns would have to just about win the time of possession battle by at least 2-1 to win, unless Mahomes throws a couple of interceptions. And they would have to probably run for at least 200 yards to win that game. And so, but I'm and they also, of course, they can't get in a shootout with the Chiefs. Nobody, maybe the Bills could, but I know the Browns couldn't. And, you know, while I like the Browns, I like Baker Mayfield, I wouldn't be surprised if the Chiefs put up 40 points today. And I think the Chiefs are going to win this game. Now, as far as I think the best matchup amongst the quarterbacks is going to be the it's going to be Jackson versus Allen, because you know the two young guns that are, you know, taking over from people like Breeze, who was 42 yesterday, and Brady. And finally, I think that if they can get Irving straightened away with Harden over there and Durant, I think the Nets could very well win the title, although, as I said before, you know, everything's problematical with those three because they all have certain issues that might explode the team. But, you know, under optimal circumstances, they could win. Thanks for putting me on, Robin.
I don't think they have issues. They all have issues that could explode the team. I only think Kyrie does. But I also think, you know, and like I said, I'm going to expand on this later, but the quick version, I also think the Harden acquisition makes the Kyrie situation less relevant. You know, look, you want Kyrie there. Kyrie's a brilliant basketball player. And if the three of them are on the court together, you have more shot creation than perhaps any team in the history of the league in dribble penetration. And all those guys could shoot the three off the dribble, off the catch. You know, all of them could put the ball on the floor and take it to the rack. You put Joe Harris out there, and the floor is going to be spread. It's just going to be filthy offensively. I'm not worried about, like, sharing the ball or any of that stuff at all. Defense and rebounding, that's something that the Nets as a team have to address. But one of the reasons you make the deal, well, the number one reason you make the deal is to get James Harden. He's James Harden. But the other reason I think that the Nets were in a position, whatever they're going to say publicly, to make that deal the way they did is because they needed to make sure, you know, if something goes awry with Kyrie, they're not wasting their window with Durant. So Kyrie Irving could cease to exist, and they still have Kevin Durant and James Harden, which is a championship-level foundation, and in their primes, which gives you a chance to win in the window. You have Durant, a chance to re-sign Durant to another contract. James Harden is under team control for years. So that's the reason you make it. You know, if Kyrie decides to leave basketball for good, all right, then you figure out how you work out his contract situation and use that money elsewhere. If Kyrie demands a trade somehow, you trade him and bring in other things to help you out, and you still have Harden and KD. Now, I think most likely it's going to be the three of them. And you know, how that is doled out and the responsibilities are shared remains to be seen. I think, you know, like Kyrie, even with those other two guys, at the end of games, I'm not so sure Kyrie isn't the best option. I mean, Kyrie is that good as a scorer and getting to spots on the floor. Harden is the distributor amongst the three of them, really. I mean, Harden doesn't get enough credit for his playmaking, but, I mean, even as poorly as he's played almost on purpose, it seems like, with Houston, he's tied for the league lead in assists right now. I mean, he plays ISO and all that, but he knows how to break down a defense and set other guys up. So I think you'll see him in more of a playmaking role. And then Durant is just an all-around force. I mean, Durant could score from any spot on the floor. Defensively, he alters shots with his length and everything. And, he's already a top 15 player of all time. But I think, you know, it makes it so you can have this brilliant playmaking big three, scoring big three, and it also is insurance against anything going awry with Kyrie. 855-212-4227. NFL divisional round playoffs are here. What matchup are you most excited about? Is it, you know, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson? Is that the best game, the best QB matchup, better than Breeze and Brady? And how surprised would you be to see the Browns upset the Chiefs? whatever you want to talk about with the NFL playoffs, but we're going to hit those topics for sure at 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That's R-O-B-I-N-L-U-N-D-B-E-R-G. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the Robin Lundberg Show. Call Robin at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227.
Buffalo Johnny tweets in, hey, who do you think will win in the Bills versus Ravens game? I think it's Bills 31-26. To be honest, I don't know. You know, that's the toughest one for me to pick this whole weekend. I could see that game going either way. I think the Ravens are playing their best football right now, and the Bills have probably played better football than any team over the course of December. I'll lean slightly Buffalo just because I think they're a little bit more explosive from a receiving standpoint, but I mean, that's going to be special to watch. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, that's the game I'm looking forward to most this weekend, and I think, you know, Vegas tells you the same. It's a 2.5-point spread. You know, basically indicating that that's a toss-up either way. In fact, and the Bills are at home. I don't know what the difference in home field advantage spreads are this year, but typically the home team gets 3 points. And so, therefore, the Ravens, by that property, are a 0.5-point favorite. That's a dead even game. I would slightly lean Buffalo, but there's no outcome in that one that's surprising me. William in Appleton, Wisconsin. William, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, William?
Hey, how you doing? First off, you know, I am in a harder Packer country, so I want to say go Pack.
Okay.
But I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, born and raised in Cleveland. With that said, I'm happy we are where we are. I think our only chance against beating Kansas City is the run. I'm not a huge Baker Mayfield fan. Run and defense, I think that can get us a win. But the only thing better than the best thing that happened this season is we beat the Steelers. And the only thing better than beating the Steelers for a Cleveland fan is beating the Steelers and putting them out the playoffs. So
it's a success already? You're saying no matter what happens, the season's successful?
It's successful as long as we beat the Steelers.
I would say winning the first playoff game since, 1994 is successful as well, or whatever it was. Yeah. I don't – when was the last Cleveland Browns win in the playoffs?
I think we had Tim Couch was the quarterback at that time. And yeah, he didn't even play. I think Kelly Holcomb played.
It was 1994, so the year that Illmatic dropped was the last time that the Browns went up. So I do think it's already been a successful season for the Browns as well, considering that, but not just because they beat the Steelers. Thanks for the call, man. Let's go to Chris in Birmingham, Alabama. Chris, you're up next here on the Robin Lundberg Show on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Chris?
Thanks for having me, Robin Lundberg.
You got it, man.
I'm a Saints fan. Everyone's talking about Sunday night's game, Brady versus Breeze. See, if you actually know the Saints and the Bucks, there's actually a better matchup in that game. It's actually Mike Evans versus Marshawn Lattimore. Like, the rivalry between those two has been brewing on since they first started out. Since they first started playing out, playing against each other, and honestly, what happened is Marshawn's got the better half of majority of the time, which Mike Evans barely has any catches. But mainly it though, I guess what really sticks out to me though is like honestly, everyone's really just picking against my Saints in this, but. Here's the thing, we're the only team that's gone undefeated as far as in division play. That's actual fact in the playoffs, as well as we've gotten the better half of just Brady in Tampa in the season majority of the time. Now we can still lose it though, but it's honestly up to my defensive backs and my defense really. If we Let's play stout run defense, and honestly play good coverage We'll eventually find a way to beat them. Thoughts, Brian?
Well, look, I mean, you're referencing the regular season. The Saints beat the Buccaneers 34-23, and then later 38-3. So, yeah, based on that, I would have to say I am going with the Saints in that game. You know, I take Brady and the individual matchup, but that's not the most important thing there. I think, you know, the Saints have the ability to beat you in a number of ways. You know, you've got Kamara, you've got, you know, the receiving core is back healthy there, so that helps. But defensively, I think is where the advantage really comes into play, and the Saints defense has shown the ability to really frustrate Brady and really frustrate the Buccaneers. I mean, combined two games, and how many points did I just say? I mean, 3 and 23, 26 points between two games. I get the whole three times thing, but I'm going to lean on the Saints as being the better overall team. In fact, I think if the Saints don't win the game, it will likely be because Drew Brees did not play well enough, rather than, you know, them winning because Drew Brees played great. I don't think Drew Brees has to play great for the Saints to win that game. I think he just has to be effective. And the thing that could keep them from winning that game is if he's not effective.
He's Robin Lundberg, and he's on CBS Sports Radio. Take it away, Robin.
Okay, I can do that. I got you. Taking it away. Robin Lundberg Show, CBS Sports Radio. It is a big one. Big weekend. Biggest sports weekend, I would say, of 2021. I hate those jokes. Sorry, I shouldn't have done that. I apologize. But it is a legitimately huge sports weekend. I mean, NFL divisional round playoff games with some fascinating matchups. Drew Brees against Tom Brady. To me, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson is the big one. That's the marquee one in my mind, and I'm happy it's today. And then you also have James Harden most likely making his Brooklyn Nets debut tonight. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Kareem in New Orleans. Kareem, you're up next here on the Robin Lundberg Show. What's going on, Kareem?
Hey, Glenn, what's going on, Rob? Man, your music choices have always been impeccable. I was calling to talk about the disrespect that the Saints have been receiving in the media, but your previous caller called and talked about that. So, if you don't mind, I'll talk about the James Harden going to Brooklyn.
Go ahead.
I'm a big Kevin Durant fan, but I don't see how fat James Harden is going to learn how to play defense. And I know he can pass the ball and he can score, but I just don't see them. I don't even see them getting out of the East with that trio. If I was Brooklyn, I would trade Kyrie Irving and try to get a big man to try to make it work. That's the only thing I can see happening. Other than that, also, I used to be a LeBron hater, but because of his longevity and sustaining playing excellent at his age and the level, and me being a basketball historian, I have grown to respect and love his game.
Well, look, there's nothing else that can be said about LeBron James. What that guy's doing is just, I mean, it's unprecedented. Year 18, and he's still, you know, the best player in the league. It's wild. As far as the Nets go, I think James Harden's defensive reputation is a little too harsh. I don't think he's as bad defensively as people make him out to be. He got put in YouTube clips a couple years back, and those YouTube clips, which were, you know, there were some egregious plays in there, don't get me wrong, but those are not the whole picture of playing defense. In fact, he's been one of the best post defenders by the numbers in the last couple of years. He also gets to loose balls at a higher rate than a lot of players in the league. So I'm not saying he's a defensive stalwart, but James Harden, I do not think is a defensive liability, or else Houston wouldn't have been as good as Houston has been the last several years. So I don't think that's so much of a concern. Trading Kyrie, again, like right now, Kyrie does not have tremendous value. considering what just happened with him. And you want to see Kyrie on the floor with these other two guys. But I do believe the Harden trade was in part Kyrie Irving insurance. I mean, ideally, it's that big three. But if anything goes wrong with Kyrie, you still have Harden. Defense and rebounding are issues for Brooklyn in general. But I don't think they get worse because of Harden. They lose Jared Allen, who was, you know, their best big. I think they're going to try to develop Nick Claxton once he gets back from injury. Reggie Perry, the rookie. DeAndre Jordan's going to have to play far better than he's played for much of this season if he isn't finished. He looked good in that first game since the trade. You know, almost like he was re-energized a little bit against the Knicks. And then I think Sean Marks, who's the GM, the guy who, you know, built up this team to make this Harden acquisition, really with no assets, he built the team up, is going to have to make some moves like on the margins, whether it's another trade to get that kind of player or it's, you know, some sort of diamond in the rough find. I don't know. But, I mean, that's on the GM at this point. I don't think their roster is quite a finished product yet.
Well, okay.
So, you know, we will see when it comes to, you know, teams in the East. And thanks for the call, man. Their top-level talent is better than anybody. Milwaukee's still a very good team. Chris Middleton's been playing brilliant this year. He closed the game for them last night against the Mavericks. And in fact, I think Milwaukee gets a little better if they just decide this guy's our closer, period. We're putting the ball in his hands, not in Giannis's hands, down the stretch of games. Philly's played very well. Embiid has been a monster this year. The thing about Philly that I'm not sure offensively if they're good enough in the playoffs. You know, shot creation. And that's what the Nets have is shot creation. You can't double any of those guys. And all those guys, no matter what else happens, if the entire play breaks down, all those guys can make a bucket under any circumstance. So I think that the Nets are going to be scary good offensively. It's a question of, you know, if they're able to be good enough defensively and on the boards. And that's up to the guys who are already on the roster, and it's up to the management to make sure that they are. Let's go to Billy in Toronto. Billy, you're up next here on the Robin Lundberg Show on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Billy?
How you doing, Robin? Yeah, I agree I agree with that last caller, everything he said, except for I hope Harden goes down with an injury on the tip-off. I just cannot.
We're not putting that energy right into the universe. You can't say that.
All right. Anyway, listen, with the football, I see it this way. I think all four dogs can win. I think all four favorites can win. This is just absolutely wide open. And being up here in Toronto, we're about an hour away from Buffalo, so you know, most Torontonians are going to be rooting for Buffalo. I'm kind of not crazy about them because of when we had our one game here a year and Buffalo just tore us apart. And plus, we've always wanted an NFL team up here, and they seem to always be wanting to get in the way, and they're going to boycott it because of zoning rights and whatever. But you know what? Hey, Buffalo, go on and win the game. It would be nice to see. Having said all that, I'm being hypocritical because I do have Baltimore winning the whole thing. And I bet them at when they were 7-6 and looked like they were done. I think it's going to be a great game. I think sometimes, Robin, what happens in sports is we see one play and we call it that was the whole game. And in watching that Tennessee game last week, I thought they shut down the quarterback pretty good. That one play up the middle, I mean, it's breathtaking when he gets on the run. But if you were to tell Tennessee you're going to hold them to 20 points, I think Tennessee figures they're going on this week. I don't know why they kept running the ball when it looked like Baltimore had 11 guys stacked up on that running back. Play action fake, which Tennessee's known for. I think they go on last week, but that's up to them. Anyway, I'm just sitting. I'm sitting here. I can't wait to see four games. I think it's going to be great. Four great games. I am a Tom Brady guy, but I don't know. I can't. The whooping that New Orleans has laid on them the last couple of weeks, I know they say you can't beat a team three times. I don't know. New Orleans beat them pretty bad. And even in that first game where you said it was 34-23, I remember Tampa scored two late touchdowns to make that game close. So hope the games are all good, and may the best team win.
Well, look, that three times thing I think is a little bit of a cliche that's not actually true, because I looked into it the other day, and I forget what the record is, something like, you know, it was almost 3-1 wins for the team that had won two times before versus the team that had lost two times before. So, it never made sense to me logically, like, oh, it's hard to beat a team three times unless you're better. You know, I mean, I know they're good. The Buccaneers are good, but if the other team is better, then they might beat you three times. It's not that far-fetched that the superior team would defeat the inferior team three times in a row. And look, the Buccaneers are playing better, I think, now, maybe even than they played at any point in the year. Now, we'll see how much that is their opposition, because Tampa looked like they got a little bit of an amalgamation, a hybrid of the Bruce Arians-style offense and Tom Brady-style offense, meaning that deep drop, deep throw passing game that Arians likes with the quick decision, changing things up at the line of scrimmage, slant, screen pass, stuff that Brady likes. And it's worked out well for them to close the year where they just absolutely dominated the teams that they played. But they haven't played anybody since the Chiefs, and no disrespect to Washington, even as a playoff team, they were a mediocre team. Now they're playing somebody in New Orleans, and we'll see where they really are. Let's go to Luke in Pittsburgh. Luke, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Luke?
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I just wanted to give what I have to say, and then I kind of wanted to get your input. So, I'm only 22, young dude. So growing up talking Seals football, I was used to, like a dynasty type of team. I'm thinking Jerome Bettis, you're thinking Willie Parker, you're thinking some of these guys that these older gentlemen and stuff like that. And, growing up they had such a predominant run game. They were such a strong defense, a strong running, strong defense type of team. And my question to you is, what do you think would help rejuvenate this Steelers running game? And then to throw an oddball question to you, how do you feel about, hypothetically speaking, Deshaun Watson being a Pittsburgh Steeler?
Well, hypothetically speaking, I think any team that needs a quarterback and gets Deshaun Watson is in a better position. I still, as much as Deshaun Watson is clearly upset, and he clearly is, I mean, he tweeted something yesterday that was, I think, the surest indication of it yet. He said, I was on 2 and now I'm on 10. And there was an ESPN article, an Adam Schefter article, I believe, that had a quote in it that said, I talked to somebody, source close to Deshaun Watson said when DeAndre Hopkins was traded, his anger was a 2, and now his anger is a 10. So, that was Deshaun Watson cryptically, I'm assuming, referencing that article. So confirming that he is furious with the Texans. And there's a lot going on behind the scenes in Houston. There's this guy, like Jack Easterby, who's very powerful in their organization, who is a controversial figure there. He's like kind of like a life spiritual coach who's now taken over decision making things. And from a lot of the reporting I've seen, some view him as a shady character. Just trying to grasp at power and not actually do the things that he preaches. But that it's just like a weird subplot to what's going on with that organization and the lack of input that Watson felt he had on the big decisions that they were making. So he's clearly upset. I'd still be surprised to see him traded, just because you don't see quarterbacks of his caliber at his age be traded. That you just not something you see unless he decides to let like the whole thing on fire and make it impossible to keep him around, a la, James Harden. So any team, whether it's the Jets or the Dolphins or the Steelers or any of those squads, the 49ers that you look at and go, man, they could use a quarterback. Of course, you think more highly of them with Deshaun Watson. As far as the rest of the stuff with Pittsburgh, I know that they went away from the running game later in the year. I think the running game is less of an issue for the Steelers than what their decision is with Ben Roethlisberger. I think that is a bigger decision for that franchise to make, because he has a huge cap hit coming up next year if he's on the roster. It's a significant one, even if he isn't. And clearly, he's near the end, if not at the end of his run. A Hall of Fame run, don't get me wrong, but a one that seems to be, has run its course, I suppose. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. You can also get at me on Twitter, at Robin Lundberg. You can listen to us on Sirius XM channel 206 as well. Anything you miss, the podcast goes up, radio.com, cbsradio.com. Just search for the Robin Lundberg Show. We are talking about this weekend in the NFL, the marquee showdowns across the board. Josh Allen against Lamar Jackson is the highlight for me, but you've also got Tom Brady against Drew Brees. You know, I think there's a sneaky little hype about the Cleveland Browns game against Kansas City. It's been a minute since we saw the Kansas City Chiefs. Plus, you know, the Packers were off last week, too, and we saw what the Rams did to Russell Wilson. Do we think there's a chance they could do that to Aaron Rodgers? You know, whenever I've thrown out a Russell Wilson versus Aaron Rodgers topic, it's been a pretty split conversation. So, you know, if they're able to make Russ look hapless, Aaron Rodgers has a chance to maybe distance himself in that conversation by performing at a higher level against that defense. Because, you know, Russell Wilson's clutch performances from the past are never going to go away, but he did not look great in that game. But was that a function of how he's been playing or where the Seahawks are or simply the defense that he went up against? Plus, there was a notable coaching hire in the NFL this week. I mean, there were plenty of notable coaching hires, but one of a big name, of course, that being Urban Meyer, who was hired by the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll get into exactly what that means and whether Urban Meyer is the guy to turn around that franchise or not. That is coming up next. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227, at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.